Today, we're going to continue with our series on who are you for heaven's sake? Who are you? Who am I for heaven's sake? A lot of times we have a problem with our identity. Growing up, maybe during your childhood or adolescence, we began to formulate the idea of who we are. We began to formulate our identity. And often it's by the way others speak to us or the way the things are, the things that they do to us that kind of formulate our identity. People either spoke words of encouragement and affirmation or words of ridicule. And our identity is often formulated by the things that they've said or done to us. Sometimes we create our own self-identity because of the things we've done in our past. Most of us have done some horrible things. Things that we don't want to tell anybody about. And sometimes we look at our past and we say, there must be something wrong with me. And there is. Okay. There's something wrong with me. And we project upon ourselves an identity that is contrary to what God says about us. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer. Maybe you should. Who was the most influential person in your life that spoke words or did things in regards to your own identity? How many of you would say it was my parents who helped create that? Probably. Okay, what about your peers? Some of you? Some? Okay. What about yourself? Okay. So we get our identity from a lot of different places. If we make poor choices younger in life, we often live with regrets and often condemn ourselves for the things that we've done. We have sometimes a perpetual state of depression that comes upon us because we continue to think about our past. Today, we're going to explore who God says you are, as opposed to what your parents, perhaps, your peers, or even yourself say you are, or how you feel about yourself. I want you to grasp it. I want you to get it. Because if you think of it in a way that's contrary to what God says you are, you're going to live in that way. But if we can really grasp what God says regarding us and who he says we are, and we can then begin to live out who we really are rather than what the world's connotations of what we are should be, or sometimes our own selves. So last week we began, and we talked about you being a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a special people. But that's hard for some people to, some Christians to even embrace. Today we're going to look at another passage of Scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to talk about more of the character qualities or more of the markers, more of the birthmarks that God has placed upon you as a child of God. Before we continue, I would like for us to pray. Lord, sometimes we come to church or sometimes we read your Bible and, Lord, they're just words on a page. And Lord, it's hard for us to identify the things that are being spoken about us or to us. Because in our minds, we read it, but in our hearts, we don't feel it. And Lord, we're going to be reading today about who you say we are. Lord, we have perhaps lies in our spirit that have been spoken to us or that we've formulated ourselves and say, no matter what God says about us, we know who we are. And it's not that. Lord, I pray today you would change our minds. You would remove the lies. That you would speak to us in ways that you can only speak. And we could receive it as children of God. Thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So we're going to begin with verse 13 of chapter 1. I'm sorry, verse 3 of chapter 1. We'll read verse 4 through 14. And let's stand together for the reading of God's word. If you can see this, read along with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, stop. I want you to say this. Every spiritual blessing, in heavenly places, is mine. Sweet. Say it again. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is mine. Wow. So we're going to talk about some of those today. Let's read on. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to start with this. We're not going to finish this today. May not finish it next week. Because I really want you to get it. Sometimes when I have a default. Sometimes I try to go too fast to get through a passage of scripture because of the time. We've got until Jesus comes, right? So I want you to get it. And so I'm going to try to slow down and not be give you so much information that you get lost. Because I think if we can really grasp into our heart who God says we are, rather than what the world puts upon us, rather than even sometimes what we think or feel, that we will be a changed individual. And things will go a whole lot better for us in our daily life when we really grasp who God says we are. So the first thing I want you to understand is, in verse 4, he says, this is one of the blessings, spiritual blessings. I am chosen by the Father. Do you remember looking for and choosing your spouse? Bob and Caroline, how long have you been married? 58 years. That's a long time. So I'm going to tell some of your story. Yeah. So Bob actually started dating Caroline's sister. Yeah. And then realized that Caroline was the one he really wanted. Okay. Yeah. They can tell you the rest of the story, maybe at Valentine's Day or something. But so Bob began to pursue Caroline. He chose Caroline over her sister. He began courting her, began dating her, and eventually Caroline accepted the pursuit and said yes. So that's similar to God pursuing you. God chose you. And he's been pursuing you. And he's been courting you. He's been drawing you to himself. And then there was a time, hopefully, that you chose to be chosen. That you said yes to this relationship. Now, some of you may be still in the courting process. You realize God's hand upon you. You realize him drawing you to himself. And you may be like some, Larry's not here today, I'm going to pick on him. So Larry says that when he met Pam, he realized because of what the professor said that her dad was in the chicken business. And so he said, I'm going to marry that gal. And so he pursued her, but Pam kept rejecting him. And finally, Pam surrendered. And they've been married for many years now. So when God's pursuing us, he's choosing. He said, I'm choosing you, I'm choosing you, I'm choosing you. But we have to be willing to surrender and say, yes, Lord, I receive you. God chose you. Every one of you here, God chose you. Those who are on looking and watching through Zoom, those who will be watching the recording later, God chose you. God chose you. Then we have to decide, will we choose him? But I want you to understand this. Every one of you, God chose you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God chose me. Say it like you mean it. God chose you, David. God chose you, Larry, Tina, and Carolyn. God chose you. Did I get those names right? Oh, pardon? Carol Ann. Sorry about that. I'm practicing my people skills. God chose you. God chose you. Isn't that remarkable? Nobody else may choose you. You may be rejected by everybody else. You may have been rejected by your parents. You may have been rejected by your peers. But God chose you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a spiritual blessing or what? Wonderful. God chose you. The second thing we find is the second spiritual blessing, that you are adopted by the Father. Now, adoption is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Some of you may have been adopted. Some of you may have adopted children. And adoption is a good thing. You don't have to be embarrassed if you are adopted. God adopted you. Adoption means that God wanted you in his family. and he chose you. You were born into sin with no hope of ever having a loving family. We all once lived to our fleshly desires that filled our minds. We were pretty rotten children. Pretty rotten children. We were disobedient to the Heavenly Father. You remember those days. And yet, God comes into the orphanage, whom Satan was over, and we were the children of Satan. And God says, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. I'm going to adopt you into my family. With clenched fists, with a horrible heart, with horrible things that we've done, with crazy attitudes. Stupid decisions. God says, I want to adopt you. And I'm going to adopt you. And Scripture says that he adopted us into his family. Isn't that incredible? And he says, this is the reason I adopted you, is so that, look in verse 5, having predestined us to adoptions, as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, because I bring the Father pleasure. You know why he adopted you? Because you bring him pleasure. Isn't that crazy? That's just crazy. God saw you in your rottenness, in your craziness. And he said, man, I want to adopt you because you're going to bring me pleasure. Sweet. And sometimes, and I've been praying more frequently since I've been delving into this book of Ephesians. Lord, what can I do to bring you pleasure today? What can I do to bring you pleasure today? Because that's the reason he adopted me, is so that I could bring him pleasure. Sure, we're brats sometimes, even as adopted children, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, Father adopted me to bring him pleasure. The third spiritual blessing mentioned here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 6. I've been made accepted in Jesus. I've been made accepted in Jesus. What does that mean exactly? All humanity needs to be adopted. All humanity has been chosen. All humanity, myself included, needs a family and a home. Not just a physical family, not just a physical home, but we need a spiritual family and we need a spiritual home. Many people try to be good enough on their own to get in. They try to do something worthwhile to join this family. They go to church. They try to reform. They give some money to church, hoping these things will allow them to be adopted. Hoping that by their good works, that they will be accepted. Some take the Lord's Supper. Some are baptized, hoping that this will become accepted. And the truth is, not one of our good works will make us accepted. Not any of the good things that you've done will make you accepted. Not by giving blood to the Red Cross will make you accepted. Not by helping others will make you accepted. It's only through Jesus Christ that you can be made accepted. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You've been accepted, not rejected. Not by your works, but by the work of Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for your sins. The fourth spiritual blessing is this. You've been redeemed, purchased by the blood of Jesus. Get some water. I've been redeemed, purchased by the blood of Jesus. The scripture in verse 7 says, in him, we have redemption through his blood. I have a cough drop in my mouth. It's just not working. Thank you. So this is a companion verse to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to look at this as well. This passage of scripture says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So what does this word redemption mean? It's one of the most important words used in the New Testament. We don't use it very much in our vocabulary. But in Paul's day, there were slave auctions. There were slaves. And so sometimes a purchaser would go to these slave auctions and they would begin to look at the slaves to find out which one they thought would be the best slave to buy and use in their farm or whatever they were doing. So they would go and they would check their teeth. Sometimes they would even beat the person to see how much they could endure. And if they passed the test, sometimes this purchaser would be willing to pay an exorbitant amount for the slave. If the auctioneer realized that the purchaser wanted a certain slave, he would make the bids go really, really, really high to as much as he thought this person could pay before he sold it. Another situation was that there were times when individuals who would come along, see a slave on the auction block, and buy that slave not for their own use, but to set this slave free. They were the redeemer. They were the redeemer. So when we are told in Scripture that Jesus is our redeemer, there are several things that we need to understand. One is that we were a slave to sin and Satan. Two, Jesus came to the slave market looking for us so he could set us free from slavery. The third thing is we had no hope of being liberated from slavery. But Jesus found us in the world slave market. And he purchased our freedom from slavery, paying the highest possible price. His blood purchased our freedom. And he also liberated us from chains of sin, death, and hell. He was our redeemer. So that's what the redemption is. That was the redemption price. Was his death on the cross. The fifth spiritual blessing we're going to look at is that your sins have been forgiven. This is a big deal to me. I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm not proud of. I've done a lot of things that I wouldn't share with you. Things I wouldn't share with anyone. But God knows. He knows everything I've ever done, violating his word, and yet he forgave me. This passage of scripture in verse 7 says again, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So this word for sin has three meanings. The first meaning is to miss the mark. We haven't hit the bullseye. Even when we tried to do the right thing, and trying to hit the bullseye, we were so far off the mark, we missed the target altogether. Okay? So that's one of the reasons, that's one of the definitions of sin, missing the mark. We tried to hit the barn and missed the barn. Okay? We did not have it within ourselves to do the right thing until Jesus came into our life. Listen to this passage of scripture in Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. All our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's like used toilet paper. That's what it's like. It's what God says it's like. Our righteousness missed the target because it's not the righteousness that God requires. Our righteousness missed the target. There's another word that used for sin, and it's called iniquity. We find that again in that same passage of scripture. All we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Our righteousness fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind, and have taken us away. Iniquity means rebellion. Not only did we miss the mark, even when we were trying to do right, we missed the mark. There's sometimes we just didn't even want to do right. Right? And we chose to go our own way, do our own thing, and wind up in rebellion against God. And the third word used, and we find in Ephesians 1:7, it's translated trespasses in the New American Standard Bible. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You know what a trespass is? You've seen the signs. Do not trespass. It means cross the line. Do not trespass. Violators will be prosecuted. I saw this sign, I think it was in Mississippi. That do not trespass, persecutors will be violated. Little confusion. When we trespass, we cross the line. God says, this is the line. And we know the line. You know, even as children, we know the line. Your parents told you the line. Don't get in to the cookies. We just get closer and closer to the cookies. If you've had children, you've probably seen them do this. They look you square in the eye. Their hand starts reaching out. They've trespassed. They've crossed the line. And we're like that sometimes in our own personal life. God says, here's the line. And we say, well, nobody's looking. Or we look God in the face and say, what are you going to do about it? That word sin means to trespass. And here's the wonderful, 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 wonderful thing. Though we have missed the mark, though we have rebelled, and though we have trespassed, Jesus takes it all away. He does not hold that against us anymore. Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, when we ask Him to forgive us, He forgives us. God has released you from your sins of the past. God will redeem them. What I mean by that, even the sins of the past, God says, I will cause good to come from them. And we don't have to live in regret anymore. Because God has, number one, forgiven you. And number two, He says, I'm going to cause all things to work together for your good. Because now you are my child. Now you have been adopted. You are a holy people. You are blessed. You are my child. We're going to close here. I told you I wouldn't get through. There's some wonderful things here. Can you receive the truth of what God says about you? Can you receive the truth that you are chosen? Can you receive the truth that you've been adopted? Can you receive the truth that you have been redeemed? Can you receive the truth that your sins are forgiven? Can you receive that? If you can receive that, it should make a whole lot of difference in your life. There should be things that you're able to do that you've not been able to do before because of your own stinking thinking. But you know, there are times when we have individuals in here who have never given their lives to Christ. They realize He's courting them. They realize that He's drawing them to Himself, and yet they haven't given themselves to Him. You are not a member of God's family yet. You're still an orphan, held by Satan, separated from the love and the family of God. You have no spiritual inheritance, and the spiritual blessings that I've just spoken about and that I'll continue to speak about next week, you have not received because you've refused Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So this morning, if you're here without Christ, God wants to impart to you the things that I have spoken of today and more besides. Would you surrender to Him and ask Christ to come into your heart and into your life. Father, I come before you today and I'm grateful to you for all that you do, for all that you say I am, for your love, for your mercy, for your kindness, for your grace, for your ministry to each of us. Lord, there's just so many to count. God, I pray that today, if there's anyone who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they would respond to you. They would turn to you. Lord, come out of sin, come out of the slavery to the enemy and come to you. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. Thank you for choosing us. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.